and look at somebody. Don't hug them or nothing. You know, we ain't allowed to do that right now. And tell them you're glad to see them here. Hallelujah. Glad you're here. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you can hug him if you want to. I don't. You know. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. If God has been so good to you, you ought to praise. Amen. 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 Aunt Helen just gave God praise and glory. She says she's been going through some things, but she can honestly say, how old are you, Aunt Helen? Can we ask you? 86. 86. And she says she can honestly say, God has never failed her. Amen. 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 Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. Bernie's go. You want to say something, Bernie? Amen.
No matter what it is, he's always left. He's never
gonna leave
you. He's never gonna forsake you. And he's the only one that I know
that's
got the power to do what he says he's got.
Amen. Amen. We got another testimony that God has never failed him. Amen. Here you go, Bernie. You was about to say something, and I interrupted you. Okay.
It's been a long time. I used every ounce of my reasoning to tell God that I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I told him, you know, I just had surgery. I got stitches. I think I may have broke a couple of stitches, but that's okay. When you get in the presence of God, the best thing is to say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. He's brought a change in my life.
Amen. Amen.
I'm 95.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
That's all I can say is the Lord is good. I haven't danced in years. But when the Lord brings blessings into your heart, brings the word of God richer to you, that's the only thing you can do. I remember when I was a kid, Mom and Dad would sit on the porch and I'd be out in the yard doing something and I'd dance or something. And they'd rejoice over that. And it brought to my mind that, you know, our Heavenly Father rejoices over us to do us good.
Amen.
So I just want to praise him and say,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. For somebody else. Let's come right here.
I thank God this morning. As many of you know, my nephew was in a motorcycle accident. This young man should have been dead. There was no reason that he is alive other than God still has plans for him. I tell you, couldn't get to the hospital because I wasn't allowed. But God, if I'm a spirit and he's a spirit and God is a spirit, why can I not pray to him as though I'm standing right there?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I was on vacation and I got in my room and I started praying with that young man as though he was standing there. And I asked my brother, is he saved? He said, I don't think so. And that's exactly what I've been praying for, salvation to come. God needs to restore that family, and I'm believing He's going to do it. I know the enemy is trying to divide them even more. But I declare right now in the name of Jesus that God is going to restore that, and He's going to bring glory to Himself through this situation. Amen. And that Brandon's going to have a testimony like no other testimony. And I thank each and every one of you for praying for him. I know you don't know him, but he is a child of God.
Amen.
And he's going to be brought into the fold in Jesus' name.
Amen. He might have missed one. Aunt Irma said she's 95 and God has never failed her. Amen. Just in case you missed that. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I figured somebody would testify, just, you know, keep us from taking up the offering. But just kidding. Nobody here would. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wilma, see, people online can't hear you unless you use a mic. Wilma said she wakes up every morning praising God, singing that song about God being good. Amen. There's nothing better than you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray and we'll take up the offering. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you for seed you give us to sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Now just go to take it up the offering. If somebody else wants to, you know, praise God, go right ahead. Amen. Everybody blessed. Amen.
You know what I've been through in my life, that he has turned it around to his glory.
Amen.
That he has provided for us every step of the way.
Amen.
And I give you praise and glory.
Amen. Amen. And Diane testified. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of God's faithfulness throughout her life, all the things she's been through, and she's been through some tough spots. God has always brought her out, always provided. Amen, amen, amen. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Now I need a volunteer. Go ahead, Janie.
The last several months has been
tough.
Melody on my
heart. Yeah.
And I just keep hearing as though the king's coming.
The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sound. And now his face I see. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise it. Janie just testified that for the last couple months. And Janie's been dealing with some stuff the last couple months. But even in the difficulty, she's got a melody on her heart. The king is coming. You know, who's that group? Newsboys. They've got a little different version of that, the king is coming. You know, it's kind of a little more peppy, you know. But the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I need a volunteer. I'm going to attempt to saw someone in half so I can demonstrate I'm just kidding. Only kidding. I need a volunteer who's got a key that'll come down here on Saturday night and turn the air conditioner on because it's blazing in here. And it's still... Well, I guess we'll just have to get a polar bear setting. I know now some of you are like, no, 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 no. But some of us are like, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Wilma said she already did, so maybe we have to have it looked at or something. Glory to God, hallelujah. Okay. Or maybe we have to start having services at 6 a.m. No, that ain't going to happen, is it, Jackie? All right. Here we go. Let's get started. Let's get serious. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint every word that I speak today. May every word that I speak be truth and be spoken through you, O God. Father, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. I want to share with you in a little more detail than I ever have. This morning, I had an encounter with God. And God has placed in me a sense of urgency. You know, like Floyd, it's time for you to do this. You've been kicking the can down the road for 6 months. It's time to do this. So I want to share with you the dream I had the day after the last election. Now, I didn't have that dream the night of the election because I was up. I was up. And then when I finally went to bed, I was too jacked up to sleep. You know? You ever been there like that, you know? Your favorite team's playing ball and it's a nail biter, you know? Amen. So I want to share with you the dream I had the following night, because the following night I slept like a baby. You know, and in order to dream, you have to fall into that REM sleep, they call it. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures, and hopefully I'm going to explain things a little better. But in the dream, I saw a wedding. I knew instantly by the huppah and the yarmulke, or the kippah, on the young man that this was a Jewish wedding. But the bride was a goyim, a Gentile. Okay? And as the wedding proceeded, The curtain was black. It was like a big open room, but it did have a curtain in the back. And out of the curtain came these people dressed in these nicely pressed brown outfits and nicely pressed black outfits. And immediately, the bride and groom ran. Nobody else ran. Everybody else that was in that place stood still. But they ran outside and they got in a limousine and they were taken to a building. Now, when God revealed what I saw, he said the wedding was between a Jew and a Gentile. One new man. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? That through the blood of Jesus, God is making one new man. Amen. Now, when they ran out of the building, there was a man standing outside the building with his arms folded, standing there very resolute and very determined. Now, it was Donald J. Trump. And I asked God, I said, what's going on? Because the people, the wedding couple got in a limousine and they took them to Trump Tower. And I'm like, what is going on? And God showed me that under this administration, Christianity would begin to flourish and God would be able to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish in building one new man. Now, you may not like this man that we have as president. That's between you and God, okay? But he has done more for religious freedom than many of the presidents that came before him. Okay? Now, is he perfect? No. No, he's not perfect. Matter of fact, sometimes he can be downright rude. But you know, I kind of find Elijah when he showed up at Ahab's door. I think he was probably a little rude. And then when Jehu was sent to get Jezebel, I don't think he was a happy camper when he got there. And like A.W. Tozier, one of the greatest Christian writers and ministers we have ever had, he said, it is the circumstance that dictates the man or woman that God raises up. You with me? So evidently, God thought this circumstance required a fighter. They tried to, like Mr. D'Souza said, they tried to run two choir boys in elections. They got beat to a pulp. So it's my belief that God is trying to do something. And the enemy is trying to steal it. Now let me read you something. Out of Acts chapter 15. I've preached this 100 times in this church. This is the place where the disciples are coming together. And they're talking about this phenomenon that these Gentiles. Peter even has a dream. He sees all these unclean animals. And God says, listen, Peter, don't you call unclean what I've called clean. And Peter's dream was that God was bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. Somebody, I'll say amen, because we're Gentiles. Amen. And so here in the book of Acts, they're all together at what scholars call the First Jerusalem Council. And they're talking about this phenomenon. You with me? These Gentiles are being saved, and they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. And they've had this discussion. And then James says in verse 15, and with this the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up. Now, what is James talking about? He's talking about this Gentile and Jewish man, this one new man coming together as one. And he's equating that to the rebuilding of the temple of David. The temple of David, what was the temple or house of David? David was the last godly king to rule a united kingdom. And so God is rebuilding that tabernacle of David. And like Janie said, the king is coming to rule that kingdom. It will be a united kingdom under one godly king. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. But then James gives us another answer from the prophets. Why is he doing this? Verse 17 says, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. God is trying to rebuild in order that all men might seek Him. Contrary to popular belief, I don't believe the God that I serve wants to flash fry everybody. I believe He wants to extend His mercy before His judgment. Now, with that said, there is a tremendous attack on Christianity today. Now, if you look at President Trump, there's a tremendous attack on him. If you look in Israel today, to Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, there is a left-wing resistance against him. The same devil uses the same tricks. He's got nothing new in his arsenal. What are we to do? There's an attack on Christianity. There's an attack on America. There's an attack on Israel. What are we to do? You know, in my dream, one of the things that God told me later, and you can count the number of times on one hand that I've said to you, God told me. So I'm not somebody that comes there and says, God told me this and God told me that. Those people didn't move, didn't run from the brown uniforms or the black uniforms. Later on, I figured out who they were too. You know, remember the brown uniforms were Hitler's boys. The black uniforms represented Mussolini. They represented fascism. Okay? But you know what? The people in the audience, even though the bride and groom ran in my dream, the people that were there as guests of the wedding didn't run. They had the same resolve and the same commitment that Donald J. Trump had outside. Have you ever heard, how many of you have ever heard of the white rose? Anybody ever heard? Not, I'm not talking about a white rose that you can buy. And have you ever heard of the white rose? Have you ever heard of a brother and sister called Hans and Sophie Scholl? They resisted Hitler. Matter of fact, they put out a pamphlet called The White Rose. And in it, they shellacked Hitler with the truth. But they got caught. They got caught and they both went to the guillotine. But here's what Sophie said. She said, cast off the cloak of indifference you have wrapped around yourself. Make the decision before it is too late. I would say America is at that same place. We can't be indifferent to what's going on. We can't say, oh, it'll just work out. You know? And really, we've been so blessed in America. There's a lot of people that they're blessed. They don't care what's going on. You know? But we all need to wake up because my Bible. You can argue with me. But my Bible says we have a real enemy. And this real enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I might give you a little rerun if you were in Sunday school here, just real quick. We said in Sunday school, the children of Israel, their freedom was never challenged until they walked in disobedience. Amen. At the moment they walked in disobedience, we said this in Sunday school, God raised up somebody to send to them. He raised up a man. Sometimes he raised up a woman. Remember Deborah? Remember Queen Esther? Yeah. But he raised up somebody that could speak truth. Somebody for that moment, that circumstance in time. And whether you like Mr. Trump or not, that's irrelevant to God. I believe that God raised him up for such a time as this. But now, you and I who are in the audience, we can't just be indifferent and go about our merry way. Say, he'll take care of it. No, we got to get in the fight. Like the Apostle Paul said, we got the whole armor of God on. Therefore, we should pray with all prayer and supplications. Amen. We're in a conflict, like Shambach said. We said in Sunday school how this system entraps people. Right? The woman we seen in the video, she was entrapped by the welfare system. You get in the system, you can't get out. You might get a job making minimum wage, but guess what? We're going to take some of the other money away so there's no net gain. But that woman that we saw in the video used the system for good. Got an education on the system. Got an education. There you go. Got an education, got a job. wrote some books. Now she's a success in life. Because some Christians told her, your life does not glorify God. So now we live in America. And now we have these groups going around and they're looting, trying to take over neighborhoods, right? Trying to tear down statues, tear down our history. And when we was coming down here, I told you this morning in Sunday school, I said, it was like the Spirit of God told me that what they're really after is not America's history. What is America's history? But what they're really after, they're not really mad at Confederate generals as much as they want our biblical history, the foundation of this nation. Amen? Therefore, we must be resolute, steadfast, unwavering, in our resolve to pray, to intercede, to speak the truth wherever the truth is accepted. Yes. Amen. So God got on me this morning, and on July, let me get the date right, July 28th, it's a Tuesday night, we will start a class called God and Freedom, the Birth of America and the Responsibility to Maintain Her. I'll say that again. July 28th. God and Freedom. The Birth of America and the Responsibility to Maintain Her. Thank God. Praise God. Remember, America is Israel's strongest ally. Amen. And I believe that God is using that relationship to build that one new man.
Amen.
Glory to God. Throughout our history, Americans have held that their nation is special, that America has been blessed by God. The American system is unique, that Americans are not like anyone else. This is known as American exceptionalism. And this is something that the left hates. They want America to be like every other nation. But you know what the truth is? It's American exceptionalism. The hand of God on us. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8 that it is God who gives you power to get wealth. And this nation is the wealthiest nation that has ever been on the face of the earth. So God must have had a hand in the development of America.
Amen.
Amen. And there's not a nation in the world, I don't believe, that has not felt the benevolence of the wealth of America. Whether it's been in protection from our army or supplied food and medical aid. They have experienced the benevolence of America. So when I see around the world death to America, I wonder, world, what would you do without her? What would you do? 90-some percent. Probably 99.9% of all the gospel preached around the world is funded by America. Wow. But what they want is they want to steal America's biblical foundation, our history, our biblical history. America is called the Great Idea. Prior to 1776, it is arguable that every government formed by man was devised to protect the power and wealth of a monarch or ruling elite. So that's why America is called the Great Idea or the Great Experience. Experiment, I mean. America was the first place on earth where the freedom and liberty of its citizens was the first priority of government. The first priority of government is to protect our freedom. Right now, the part of our government is attacking our freedom. The entire framework of government in the beginning was designed to maximize individual freedom and to protect its citizens from tyranny of government. Matter of fact, that's why they stuck the Second Amendment in there. The right to bear arms. In order, we had to free ourselves from a king. Or a monarch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our founders were motivated by a desire not only to assure the blessing of freedom and liberty for Americans, but to hold out a great promise to all people of the world for all time to come, and that America represented the last best hope of all the earth. Abraham Lincoln said that. Wow. Now let's go to my history lesson real quick. As quick as we can. Modern histories of America almost universally neglect the century and a half of colonial history between 1607 to 1776. Hang in there, I know you're warm and heavy-eyed. Instead, they have taught the myth that America was dreamed up by our founders or by great thinkers of the European Enlightenment movement. But here's the truth. The truth is, the biblically literate, politically astute colonists set the trajectory for America's future success. They wrote their own brilliant, biblically based constitutions and agreements long before the founding era. Before the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, the individual colonies were writing their own biblically based laws and constitutions. You didn't know that, did you? Let me keep going. Professor Donald Luce documents that the roots of America's freedom and prosperity did not necessarily come from the founding fathers or the Constitution. He says rather that local governments in colonial America was the seedbed or the roots of America's Constitution. So these people who founded the colonies, not only were they biblically smart, they were politically in tune. And each individual colony set up their own constitution and laws. And it was from those laws and constitution that the founders wrote our constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Amen? Let me keep going. Nearly all the colonists who settled the East Coast of America were Christians, deeply influenced by the Reformation. Remember the Reformation? Martin Luther? He said, wait a minute. It's not Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Church. It's Holy God, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. He said, the church can't save you. The church can't grant redemption. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Now, Luther had some problems. He wasn't perfect by a long shot. But you know what? That circumstance required God to pick a man like Luther. Think about that. Well, there's a lot I don't like about Martin Luther. But you know, it took a man with chutzpah to stand up to the Catholic Church. It took a man with that kind of chutzpah to stand up, and they wanted to kill him. He went and nailed his 95th thesis to the door on the Wittenberg Church. Take that. Circumstance determined a man. The early colonists, they were part of what historians have called the biblical century. The 17th century. During that pivotal span, millions of Europeans were able to own and read the Bible. Why? Because of Mr. Gutenberg and the printing press. They were able to own and read the Bible in their own language for the first time in history. Harvard professor Eric Nelson says that during this period, Christians began to regard the Hebrew Bible as a political constitution. I'm going to read that again. For anybody that thinks we ought not be studying Jewish roots, I'm going to make a point right here. Okay? Harvard professor Eric Nelson says that during this period, Christians began to regard the Hebrew Bible as a political constitution. He says that readers began to see in the five books of Moses not just political wisdom, but a political constitution, no longer regarding the Hebrew Bible as the old law, a shadowy imitation of the truth which had been rendered null and void by the new dispensation. They increasingly came to see it as a set of political laws that God himself had given to the Israelites as the civil sovereign. He says that political scholars would now have to look to the perfect constitution designed by the omniscient God. Now, with that said, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. Now, we've already said, and I'm trying to hurry, I know you're warm. Me, I'm having a meltdown. This coat will have to be dry cleaned when I get done. You know, when you, no, then there'll be great big ugly wet spots. So we'll just keep them hid. Too much information, right? When you can feel it dropping down here, from up here to down here, you're warm. We may have to get some fans or something. We got to cool this place off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Jeremiah 6. Now, think of this. The founders of the colonies believed that they needed to use the Hebrew Bible as the foundation for their constitution. Whew. But man, we got people who call themselves Christians, preachers today, that say, that's been done away with. We don't need that Old Testament anymore. We got the New Testament. Around here, we don't call it the Old Testament, do we? We call it the Hebrew Bible. We don't even call the New Testament the New Testament. We call it the Jewish commentary to the Hebrew Bible. Because we know if you don't have an understanding of the Hebrew Bible, you're going to miss some things in the Jewish commentary or the New Testament. Amen? But when you're grounded in the Hebrew Bible, you start seeing some revelation in the commentary, or the New Testament as it's called. Now, they knew they needed to use the Torah of God as a biblical foundation for their constitution. Now, in America today, we're off-center. There's an attack on our freedom because we have become off-center. And I'm going to blame Christians too. Okay? We're off-center. So what's going to be the answer? Do you know what the answer was every time the children of Israel got off-center? In Jeremiah's day, when they wanted to worship the Queen of Heaven, bake raisin cakes and offer it up to the Queen of Heaven, a false pagan god, eventually that Queen of Heaven would evolve into Mother Mary. Just saying. And she had a son named Tammuz. So, you know, it was way back. See, the Catholics didn't come up with this mother-son religion. It goes way back, okay? But the term Queen of Heaven's used by Jeremiah in the book here. We're going to offer them raisin cakes up to her. So my point is, every time they got off center, here come Jeremiah, and here's what Jeremiah says. This is what God said through the prophet in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths or ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I will set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. In Jeremiah's day, God tried to bring them back to his Torah. He tried to bring them back to his word. And he told them to walk in it. They said, nah, not going to walk in it. He said, I put watchmen on your wall. They're going to sound the alarm, sound the trumpet. You need to come back to God. And they said, guess what? We will not listen. See, we got a lot to overcome in America. Because there's a group that doesn't want to walk in the ways of God. Amen. Unfortunately, there's Christians who don't want to walk in the ways of God. Amen. I'm saved by grace. My sins are under the blood. Sins I committed in the past, sins I'll commit in the future. I just live like the devil, and then one day I'll get to go to heaven. I don't think so. But, you know, if that's what you want. My grandma used to say, those who will not listen must feel. Now, I never heard that, but I've heard that enough from her daughters to know that she must have said it. Okay? One of those daughters being my mother. So, amen. Now, let's keep on going. America needs to get back to its biblical, its Hebraic biblical foundation. As the American colonists formed their towns and colonies, they created models of limited self-government. Notice I said limited. Have you noticed something about our government? It's over $20 trillion in debt. And most of it is because the government is so big, the payroll is so big. I mean, you would think our government takes in $250 million, or that was $250 billion a month. And that's not enough. We, you know what? See, that, you know what that proves? It's easy to spend somebody else's money. It's easy. And I'm not getting on the Democrats. I'm getting on the Democrats and the Republicans. Okay? It's easy to spend somebody else's money. Now, let me keep going. Government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen? See, I know this because I work in the oil patch. And I have to work with these guys that are called EPA. They got way too much power. And they know way too little. Amen. You talk to one guy, he might tell you to do it this way. You go over here and talk to another guy, he might tell you, no, you don't have to do it that way. They don't know, but they got the power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. See, I'll tell you what, years ago, one time, one of our guys had an oil spill. It's pretty good size. We contained it, it got in a creek. We contained it. We cleaned it up. We had to go back and go back and go back and come back and keep cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. We got it cleaned up, and the old boy from the EPA said, you did good. No problem. However, you've heard the term Philadelphia lawyer, right? A genuine Philadelphia lawyer who worked for the EPA sent us a bill for $75,000. He never even came and looked. So what we do, we had, my dad, let me tell you something. When it comes to government, I don't want to say my father's anti-government, but he just thinks they got way too big a hands in a little tiny cookie jar. Okay? And so we had to get a lawyer, paying $5,000 on a lawyer, to finally get that whittled down to 10 grand on the fine. And we had to go out and purchase a truck and equip it with a spill kit. And for the next 2 years, if anybody had a spill in our area, we had to be first responders. We didn't have to clean it up, but we had to respond to it to help contain it. So the first one we went to, so we got $10,000 in it. We got about $30,000, no, $35,000 in this whole ordeal now. Okay. So the first, this is how good God is. So the first spill we go to, some old boy bought an oil well. You know, he didn't know beans from apple butter about oil wells. And he starts pumping it because he got to get his investment back, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, those tanks have what they call valves.
Yeah.
And he left the valve open. So it all went down in this big ditch, you know, and everything. So we went and contained it. And we were real small. We didn't have half the employees we have now. But we worked at it. Everybody in the family, everybody, you know, won some overtime at work there. We cleaned it up. And we were able to send them a bill. Yeah. We sent them a bill. And the bill, and it wasn't even near what we could have sent. Because the going rate for a barrel of oil cleaned up is $1,500 a barrel. So, and there was 75 barrels that got spilled. That's almost $100,000. But Dad, being the good guy he is, he wouldn't let me make out the bill. He sent him a bill for $42,000. And they paid it. So we got all our money back, plus the guys got some overtime, covered it. Then we went to another spill, same situation. Same thing, another $40,000. So God is good. What the devil tried to steal, he made him put back. Now we had to do some hard work, but he made him put it back. Amen? So our forefathers had a biblical mindset when it came to government, and they wanted small government. The colonists had come out, now watch, the colonists had come out of Europe with its forced religion, or we could say irreligion, right? They knew that Christianity could not be forced, but watch. But they did, as Christians, apply their faith. Now watch this. Apply their faith to the choice of their leaders and to the political affairs of their republic. I'm going to say it again. Our Christian forefathers applied their faith to the choice of their leaders and to the political affairs of their republic. And because I love you, I'm going to have mercy on you. And I'm going to cut you loose right here, and we'll finish this next week. But I want to say this to you. The early Christians applied their faith and biblical principles to the people they elected. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, it's clear, it's not up for debate. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, God says, I am holy. Therefore, you, as my people, be holy. Now, I've said this 1,000 times in this church. God's holiness speaks of his uniqueness, right? He's other than, not like any other God that's ever been worshipped. And what is it that separates God? It's his moral purity. So God is holy. He's unique. He's other than because of his moral purity. And God says, Bernie, I want you to be holy before a holy God. In other words, he's telling Bernie, don't you be like these heathens in the world. I want you to be unique. I want you to be other than the people of the world. Now, one man said, and I can't think of his name, one man said that democracy lasts until the electorate figures out that they can get something for their vote. You with me? Once they figure out their vote is worth something, then democracy fails. And I'll say something else. And Christianity fails. Because once you figure out that you're voting for personal gain, you are no longer holy before a holy God.
Amen.
You have profaned your own holiness.
Amen.
The founding fathers succeeded. They succeeded in defeating the greatest army the world knew at that time.
Amen.
And the odds were very long.
Yeah.
Probably you couldn't get Las Vegas to give you odds on that. Because the outcome was so inconceivable. So as a Christian, I'm required that even when I vote, and I'm going to show you next week how involved the clergy were in the politics and in the defending of this nation next week. I must vote my moral conscience.
Amen. Yeah.
I can't vote for something that's just going to benefit me. I have to vote for my moral conscience.
Amen.
I can't morally vote for someone who supports abortion.
Amen.
Because my Bible determines my uniqueness. I can't vote for someone who's pro same-sex marriage because my Bible prohibits that. Amen? And I know and you know right now that the reason America is where she's at today is we've lost that compass.
Amen.
And I believe that what God has done is he's giving us an opportunity to find our way back to the ancient paths. Amen. And next week I'm going to show you the role the clergy played in the early days of this nation and how the Second Great Awakening, a revival, broke out. Just as the French were ready to annihilate us, revival broke out in 1730. Amen. So, what's my point? Well, you'll have to come back next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? We need to take of the communion table. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deb, you want to help me? What's your name? Jackie. Hey, sometimes my mind is so focused on what I'm preaching, I was like, I got to come up with that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We may have to get another air conditioner put on this end. If I preach much longer, this old boy just be a puddle up there. He just mopped me up. Yeah. It's hard when you're warm. Your eyes get heavy. It's a good thing your pastor's got a big mouth. If I was one of them soft-spoken guys, you'd all be out like lights. Forgive him, Lord. But could I choke him just a little bit? Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what I love to do. I get frustrated and angry when I don't get enough time. I thank you for that. Even if it is delivered with hot air. I was just trying to get that out of you. Hallelujah. Has everybody been served? Sorry. Everybody? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The King is coming. Might be tomorrow. Might be tonight. Might be 100 years from now. That's why we've got to be resolute. Throw that in there for you. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your Son Jesus, our Messiah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your fidelity and your faithfulness to the plan and purpose of God. Your word says that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed and made whole. The Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise you. Thank you, Father, for that great love. You gave your Son, your only Son, Jesus, to die for us. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He told his disciples, "Take, eat this. This is my body." And he gave us commandments to, whenever we do this, to do it in remembrance of him. So this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser or baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our heart, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. Hallelujah. Hold your cup up on three. One, two, three. Behind to life. We know that the Lord Jesus poured out his life at Calvary so we could be partakers of that life. We also know this cup represents our faithfulness and fidelity until our bridegroom comes. So, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, and as an act or vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of your life. Are here. Turn that up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, my God. God, we praise you. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. And Father, for these your children, I ask that you would bless them this week spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless every area of their lives. And Father, any unsaved children or loved ones that are represented here, Lord God, we just pray you would sick your Holy Ghost on them, Lord God. Let him hover over them like a hen would her chicks and bring their hearts to the place they would make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. And for that we give you glory, praise, and honor. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hey, Terry.